I want to take just a moment to thank you for being here today. Appreciate your presence. And to all of those who are visiting with us, we welcome you. I want you to know that we are encouraged that you've made the decision to come and be a part of our service this morning. It is my hope and my prayer that we will all be benefited together as we study from God's Word, as we pray together, and as we sing together. And, of course, we've just partaken of the Lord's Supper, that great memorial but to Jesus for what he's done for us. The idea of a time before time. There are cute little children's stories about such, the lamb before time. And we would imagine what it means to be in eternity when there is no time. The Bible clearly talks about this idea that there is something out there that is not really describable with the idea of time. It's difficult for us to imagine a time before time. How would we express that? Everything we do, all of the plans that we make, everything involves the concept of time. What are you going to do for lunch today? Well, that's time. Are you going to go out to eat tonight after services? That's time. Are you going to get together with a group sometime? Will you be going to work tomorrow morning? Time. You see, everything we do really is defined by this concept of time. And so the very idea of a time before time is difficult, impossible, really, for us to be able to imagine. Now, Keith and Garrett in the class here this morning started to trample a little bit on what I'm going to talk about this morning and what they were saying. But they were making a good point. And it's the idea that it's so hard for us to really appreciate this idea. There are no words that adequately express the idea. Again, the point that was made this morning in class is that God uses words that we can understand to help us envision, picture things that are difficult for us to understand, difficult for us to appreciate. And the idea of time is a part of that. How do we express the concept that God just simply is? In the book of Exodus, God told Moses, when Moses said, "Who will I tell sent me to the people of Israel?" God said, "I am that I am. Tell them I am hath sent me unto you." And so it's difficult for us to be able to envision that. What word am I going to express in eternity with? Eternity does not really do justice. There is no time. There's really no reference point for us to understand either. I can understand the idea of tomorrow, next month, next year. I can appreciate what 12 o'clock means, 12 o'clock a.m., 12 o'clock p.m., I can appreciate that because there is a reference point for me to be able to draw on. If nothing else, I can look at my watch and it tells me what time it is. And so time is something we understand. But realize that time is a creation. Time is made by God. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning. That word itself helps us to appreciate time, does it not? When something begins, I'm going to go to the movie tonight. What time does that movie begin? I want to know so I'm not late. I want to know so I don't miss it. I've got an appointment tomorrow. I want to know what time that appointment is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Reading from a quote by Stephen Hawking, a well-known and respected British psychologist or a physicist, he said this, "The universe has not existed forever. Rather, the universe And time itself had a beginning in the Big Bang about 15 billion years ago. The beginning of real time would have been a singularity. He goes on to say, at this time, the Big Bang, all the matter of the universe would have been on top of itself. The density would have been infinite. It would have been what is called a singularity. At a singularity, all the laws of physics would have broken down. This means that the state of the universe after the Big Bang will not depend on anything that may have happened before, because the deterministic laws that govern the universe will break down in the Big Bang. The universe will evolve from the Big Bang completely independently of what it was like before. He is a well-known atheist as well. And I want you to notice what he says here, because it's important. Because it's exactly what we read about in the Bible. Number one, he says that the idea that this universe, this earth that we live on and everything in it, that it has some kind of a beginning point, a stage. That when you look out over the many galaxies and you see all that is taking place, all of this had a beginning. And the Bible agrees with that. What atheists must do is get a beginning without God. And what they've come up with is this Big Bang theory, some of them, where you have all matter, whatever that is, in the universe, that is kind of sitting on top of itself. I can't even envision that. But it would be, the density of that would be infinite. Okay. And all of the laws of physics, in order for this Big Bang to work, would have to be broken down. In other words, whatever was before this Big Bang, the Big Bang and what took place there defied those laws. So that we can no longer look back and really understand what took place. Because those are things of the past. Those are things that changed. Those are things that broke down. And so what we now have is independent, is completely different from what was back then. Sounds a lot like God's creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so the creative power of God is different from what we see today. We clearly understand that. In fact, the Bible talks about this very point. Turn over to the book of Hebrews quickly, and let's look there in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to listen to what is said in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There are things that are different. And so those who are atheists, those who want to accept some idea of organic evolution, they have come up with a way in their mind that this can work. It works by all matter. Now, they don't tell us where matter comes from, this force, as it's sitting on top of itself. The density would be so great, it would be infinite in nature. They don't tell us how that got there, but whatever this is that exists, something happened, and this Big Bang took place, and we can't go back, and we can't test it because the laws are different. The laws of physics are different today than what they were when that happened. Which makes more sense? Does it make more sense to believe in the Big Bang? Does it make more sense to believe in a God? Either you have this massive form of matter sitting on top of itself that is eternal in nature, that had no beginning, that will have no end. But in that, you have the creation of the heavens and the earth through this big bang. Or you have a God who is eternal in nature, who is able to create and to manipulate and to do as he pleases. Either you have the genius of God, or you have the blind luck, the blind chance of this mass of matter exploding to such a degree that what you now see is created. Not only what you see from the material standpoint, from the inorganic standpoint, but from living matter as well. We are from that Big Bang. Which makes more sense. Because you see, both science and the Bible teaches us that there was a time before time. I want to know, what was God doing before creation? Have you ever thought about that? If we accept the fact that there was a time before time, and I do, the Bible teaches that, science itself supports that idea. I take the position that God is the cause of all that we see. That God is the one who put all of these things in motion in the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. As he went through each day and he created on that day the things that were necessary. But what was God doing before the creation? Because the creation is that beginning point of time, and there will come some moment when all of this ends. And again, even physics suggests the same. In reading the article that I did with regard to Mr. Hawking, he makes it very clear that yes, there will come a time when all of this will end. He says, don't worry about it. It's going to be 12 billion years down the road. But there's going to be a time when all of this ends. And so, if time is a creation, and I believe it was created by God, and time is going to end, it would be nice to know what God was doing before time. It would be nice to understand a little bit of what we're going to be doing after time. This morning's lesson, we want to ask the simple question, what was God doing before creation? Well, first of all, he existed before creation, before time. In the book of Psalms, chapter 90, in verse 20, we had read a few moments ago, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This idea of everlasting to everlasting. Again, we have no reference point. We can imagine, I guess, but we have no reference point. But what he's saying is God has always been. Even the idea before creation is a concept of time before, during, and after. Is it not? And this concept did not exist until day one of creation. We also read that before creation, before time, that God the Father loved God the Son. In John 17, verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. In other words, there was a relationship with God there that was not dependent on time. Why is that important? Well, if I believe in what the Bible says about eternity, then I realize that there's going to come a period when time ends and we're going to be in that state of eternity. And it's nice to know that there was love between God the Father and God the Son prior to time. And so, when I read about God loving me and I understand that God is my Father and I realize that in eternity I'm going to be before Him, I can appreciate the fact that there will be love. Love is not dependent on the material things. Love is not dependent on this world and this life. Love existed before time. It will exist after time. You'll also note in John chapter 17, verse 5, that the Father and Son shared glory before creation, before time. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus was about to be crucified. He was about to be offered. People were going to be mocking him, ridiculing him, making fun of him. Some would think, well, we have succeeded. We have destroyed this man. And so as you would look at that scene, you would not think that there was anything glorious about it. And yet in that very act, God was going to glorify his Son. But I want you to notice that this glory existed before the foundation of the world. You know, we are going to be glorified if we die in the Lord or if we are in the Lord when he returns. And so I can appreciate the fact that there's going to be this special state, this glorified state, this wonderful state in the world to come. It is not dependent on time. Also notice that there was a plan put in place, a plan for the Lord's work in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And so there is thinking that takes place in eternity. God put something in order. I don't think that God sat down with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and they contemplated and they tried to figure things out. You know, they tried to make plans. You know, often making plans takes a lot of time, does it not? If you're going on an extended trip where you have many stops to make, do you have to sit down and kind of figure out where you want to be at this point in time and where you want to be on this day and where you want to be this night? Of course you do. I suppose you could go without any plan, but who knows where you would end up? Planning is important. And again, I'm not suggesting that God sat down and had to figure all these things out, but the point is that God had something in mind. Even before the creation, that God had something in mind. And he wanted to make sure that these things came about. Notice also that there is a promise of eternal life even before the foundation of the world, before creation. In the book of Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life. Now listen, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. He promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And so God had in mind this great plan, and the plan was man's salvation. The idea of eternal life. Let me tell you something. God created the animal kingdom to die and to exist no more. As much as you love your pet, we understand that that pet is different than we are. Or when you look at the animals in the wild, or when you go to a zoo and you look at animals from the wild, you realize they're different. There's nothing promised to them. But even before God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, even before God began that great act of creation, God had made the promise of the hope of eternal life through his Son. And not only that, but we also find here that in due time, what did God do? He manifested his word through preaching. We also see in the book of Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 that these things had been hidden since the beginning of time. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. You see, back in the days of Adam and Eve, they did not know, they did not understand the coming of Jesus Christ. God already knew what was going to take place because before the beginning of time, God had established that. It was not revealed in the days of Abraham. It was not even revealed in the days of Moses or the great prophets. In fact, we are told that they longed to see, to understand these things. But it was told in the coming of Jesus. It was told by the apostles. The plan was revealed. The plan that was there even before creation. And you'll notice in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, beginning, that those who are saved, those who are called, listen to what he says. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, now listen to this, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You see, the grace in Christ Jesus was given even before creation. You say, well, how is that possible? Because we note history. We read about history in the Bible, and we see there in Genesis chapter 1, the creation. And we note man's sin, man's fall. And we see how God's plan began to... How is it possible then that even before creation, before time began, that God did these things? It's possible because with God there is no time. You see, when we look at our existence and the world as we know it, as we see it, we can pinpoint things and we understand we cannot go back in time. We cannot go forward in time. We have to live in the moment, don't we? We have to live for this very second because now it's gone. Not so with God. With God, there is no past. With God, there is no future. With God, there's not even the present. Because all of those words, as we indicated earlier, all of those words signify time. God is not controlled by time. And so even before creation, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But now listen to the next verse. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. But has now been revealed. You see, again, people didn't really appreciate these things, understand these things until they happened. Why? Because we live in time. Because Adam and Eve, they were born, they died. Noah was born, he died. Moses was born, he died. But not so with God, not so with Christ. You see, these things have been revealed at the proper time, when God was ready to reveal them. By the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see how all of this is made known? How all of this is brought to life through the gospel? We are able to go back and we're able to see what God did for us in our time. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Notice that. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before there was time. That we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This passage teaches predestination. There's no denying that. There's no arguing against it. It does not teach the predestination of Calvinism. What it teaches is that with God there is no time. It teaches us that God, he knows. He sees things. He's chosen by character, by nature. Those people, he says, who should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, God has chosen a kind of person. And he did that before creation. That's not going to change. The ones God will save are the ones who will respond favorably to him. Remember what Jesus said in one of the great passages in the book of Matthew? In Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is concluding that. And he makes some statements about these kinds of things. He says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 beginning, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, if we're not doing the will of God, then we cannot be among the called. God has that plan even before time began. And so what do we learn from this as we close our lesson? We learn that God is able to act. He's able to do. He's able to think. He's able to reason. He's able to create. All of this before time. And so what we learn is that time really has no control over us unless we are in this life. Because understand that Jesus, when he took upon himself the form of a servant, when he was made in the likeness of men, he then was subject to time. He had a birth and he had a death. He celebrated birthdays, if you will. All of that having to do with time. And he allowed himself to come and to be subject to time for a brief period of time. But he is no longer subject to time. He's back in that original place. The same place we hope to go to as God's people. I cannot tell you everything we will be doing, but I can tell you this. We will have things to do. We will be active. We will be worshiping and glorifying God. I cannot tell you every way in which that will take place. I don't know. But it will not be subject to time. But right now, we are all subject to time. If you're not a Christian, and you're at the edge of accountability, and you understand what you need to do to please God, that you need to believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that you need to turn your heart to him in repentance, that you need to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized. This is your time. There's going to come a day when time ends, and when time ends for you, all opportunity does so as well. Maybe as a child of God, you've gotten caught up in this world again, and the time that you're spending in this life is time spent on worldly things and fulfilling worldly desires and worldly lusts. Some might be evil, some may not be evil in and of themselves. But you're just wrapped up in things. You need to come back to God. God expects us to do what with our time? Redeem it. He expects us to walk circumspectly. He expects us to live a life in the time that we have, that will please him, so that we can go to a place where there is no time. If you need to respond, do so as together we stand and we sing the song that's been selected.